Tonight, several major headlines. The unexpected move from the defense in the Ahmaud Arbery case. Also, we're expecting word at any time on boosters for all adults. And the Thanksgiving week storm now coming into clearer focus. First, the Arbery case. The prosecution today grilling Travis McMichael, who shot and killed Arbery. McMichael acknowledging Arbery was unarmed and never verbally threatened him, telling the court, quote, he was just running. Tonight, the FDA panel expected to greenlight boosters for adults 18 and older in the coming hours. Massachusetts and Utah now, among at least 14 states, moving ahead with those boosters even before the FDA, given what they're seeing. With tens of millions set to travel Thanksgiving week tonight, we're tracking the system that could now deliver two storms. The first beginning Sunday, Chicago to Detroit, New York to Boston, and Rob Marciano timing this out. More than 23 hours of jury deliberations now in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. And the judge tonight banning a news network from the building. Oklahoma's governor commuting the death sentence of Julius Jones just hours before his scheduled execution. Jones always maintaining his innocence. Two of the men convicted of killing Malcolm X exonerated here in New York City. The Manhattan DA apologizing today and what he said. There's late word coming in at this hour from Capitol Hill, the big move on the second part of President Biden's domestic agenda. The backlash tonight near Buffalo, New York, the judge facing outrage after a young man pleads guilty to sexually assaulting four teenage girls. The judge sentencing him to probation, saying prison time would be inappropriate. Tonight, alarm growing for the tennis star missing after her accusations of sexual assault, and now the new turn. And with Thanksgiving almost here, the 105-year-old running the 100-meter, reminding us all to give thanks.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Thursday night. The FDA at any moment expected to make news on boosters for all adults, and that Thanksgiving week storm now taking shape. But we are going to begin tonight with that unexpected move from the defense in the Ahmaud Arbery case. The defense tonight resting its case in the trial of three Georgia men in the shooting death of Ahmaud Arbery. The prosecution had already finished. Outside the courtroom, a prayer vigil by supporters of Arbery's family led by hundreds of black pastors. Inside, that move by the defense to put one of the defendants, Travis McMichael, on the stand. Today, cross-examination from the prosecution. McMichael acknowledging Arbery never pulled out any weapon and that Arbery never said anything to him. McMichael said of Arbery at one point, he was just running. The incident ending in the firing of those fatal shots. Tonight, the jury has now been sent home before closing arguments, and ABC Steve Osunsami leading us off now from Georgia.
Outside the Glynn County Courthouse in Georgia today, hundreds of black pastors and people closely watching this case came to pray with the family of Ahmaud Arbery and their legal team.
God, we're looking for a miracle.
Inside the courtroom where the family is hoping for justice, prosecutors continued to question one of the three men accused of murder and other charges in this racially explosive case.
How many times have you pulled up on strangers that you don't know next to them with a pickup truck to ask them what they're doing in your neighborhood?
I don't think I have in that situation, but I have pulled up on people that are running behind, coming up behind them.
Travis McMichael, who fired the fatal shots that killed Arbery in February of last year, had to admit that before the shooting, his victim posed him no physical or verbal threat.
Never threatened you at all?
No, ma'am. Yeah, he did not threaten me verbally. No, ma'am.
All right. Didn't brandish any weapons?
No, ma'am.
Didn't pull out any guns?
No, ma'am.
Didn't pull out any knife?
No, ma'am.
Never reached for anything, did he?
No.
He just ran?
Yes, he was just running.
McMichael, his father, Gregory McMichael, and a neighbor, William Roddy Bryan, have all pleaded not guilty. They say they were trying to make a citizen's arrest under then-Georgia law. But prosecutors say the victim wasn't the thief they were thinking and wasn't the only person seen wandering this home that was under construction in the neighborhood. Today we heard from other neighbors, at least two of them women of color, who were witnesses for the defense. They testified that the issue was crime and that they felt scared seeing strangers on neighborhood security cameras.
Violated. upset that my kids weren't getting to grow up in the safe neighborhood I grew up in.
Jurors tonight have been dismissed until Monday. Tomorrow, the judge will handle charges and other motions. What this means is that closing arguments could begin as early as Monday morning, and then the jury would be handed this case. David?
All right, Steve Osunsami leading us off tonight. Steve, thank you. And now to the upcoming holiday and this pandemic, with families set to gather across this country. Tonight, the FDA is now expected to authorize both Pfizer and Moderna boosters for all adults 18 and older at any time. Tomorrow, CDC advisors will then meet on this, and this could all happen very quickly. And here's the map tonight. More than a dozen states have moved forward with boosters for all adults already, given the rise in cases they're seeing with more people indoors. In fact, new cases are up 35% across this country just since late October. Here's Whit Johnson tonight.
Tonight, the FDA expected to authorize booster shots for all adults at any moment, paving the way for a robust rollout of third doses this weekend.
The rate of disease is markedly lower for those who received their booster shot, demonstrating our boosters are working.
But today, Massachusetts and Utah joining a dozen other states and getting ahead of the CDC, allowing Pfizer and Moderna boosters for everyone 18 and older.
What we're seeing is that with immunity waning and cases climbing, there's a recognition that anyone over 18 with the right amount of time should be eligible for a booster.
The booster buildup coming amid growing fears of another winter surge. Cases across the country are up 35% since late October. 18 states seeing an increase in hospital admissions. In New Mexico, doctors struggling to care for a stream of COVID patients.
Our situation right now is dire. Most of these patients are unvaccinated. This is overwhelming our healthcare system.
In Maine, Bettina Lerman was unvaccinated and ended up on a ventilator with COVID.
I love you.
In a coma for more than a month, her family was already planning a funeral when they got a call from the doctor.
I need you to come up to the hospital right away. I'm like, what? Is something wrong? And he goes, well, your mother just woke up. I literally dropped the phone. I was like, what? I mean, because we were supposed to be terminating life support that day.
Loved ones calling it a medical miracle, saying Bettina now plans to get vaccinated when she's better.
I think the right thing to do is to get vaccinated. So if one of our family members gets it again, it won't be that bad.
And David, a CDC advisory panel will meet tomorrow to discuss booster shots and is expected to make recommendations. The CDC director would then give the final green light, which could mean a new wave of boosters going into arms this weekend. David.
All right, Whit Johnson tracking it for us tonight. Whit, thank you as always. And with tens of millions set to travel Thanksgiving week, tonight we're tracking the system that could actually now deliver two storms. The first beginning Sunday, Chicago to Detroit, New York to Boston, and then let's get to senior meteorologist Rob Marciano. He's timing it out for us tonight. Hey, Rob.
Hi, David. A very dynamic pattern setting up for the eastern half of the country. We'll begin with a big temperature swing, 20, 30 degrees likely. We have temperatures in the 60s on the east coast today. There's that front 20s, 30s, and 40s behind it. That sets the stage for a quiet weekend until this next system drops into the Great Lakes. And by Monday morning, I think we'll see problems at O'Hare in Detroit, Cleveland, Cincinnati, maybe some snow, some wind, all rain along the east coast. But then that low digs, kind of develops another coastal low, and it sits off the coast of New England on Tuesday and Wednesday. Wind, some snow across parts of New England. How long it sits there, still a question mark, but looks to be a bit of a mess at least through Wednesday. David?
All right, we'll be tracking this the next few days with you, Rob. Thank you. We turn to the other news this Thursday night in Kenosha, Wisconsin, at the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse. That jury now deliberating more than 23 hours. And today, the judge calling lawyers and Rittenhouse into the courtroom for what he called a very serious matter. The judge then revealing he was banning a cable news network from the building. Here's Terry Moran.
Tonight, a third long day of deliberations has come to a close. Jurors still working to determine the fate of Kyle Rittenhouse, charged with killing two men and injuring a third with an AR-15 rifle during violent protests last year. Rittenhouse says he acted in self-defense. But outside the presence of the jury today, a shocking moment in court.
I have instructed that no one from MSNBC News will be permitted in this building for the duration of this trial.
The judge bans MSNBC from the trial after Kenosha police say they pulled over a man affiliated with the network. He ran a red light near the bus designated for jurors and said he'd been told to follow it.
That's extremely serious matter.
NBC News issued a statement saying the freelancer never contacted or intended to contact the jurors during deliberations and never photographed or intended to photograph them, adding, "We regret the incident." This jury's working hard. Clearly, since the beginning of deliberations, they've asked for a copy of the jury instructions for each of the jurors. One of the jurors taking it home to study tonight. They've also reviewed as a group a lot of the video evidence. But today, no questions, no requests for evidence. They're hashing it out. David?
All right. Terry Moran from Kenosha again tonight. Thank you, Terry. Now to the breaking headline late today from Oklahoma, where the governor there halted the execution of Julius Jones just hours before he was set to die. Supporters then breaking into cheers in the Capitol Rotunda the moment they heard the news. The governor reducing the sentence to life in prison. Jones always maintaining his innocence. Marcus Moore tonight from Oklahoma.
Tonight, jubilation after Oklahoma's governor granted clemency to death row inmate Julius Jones, sparing his life nearly 4 hours before his execution. Governor Kevin Stitt choosing life without parole for Jones, despite calls from supporters and family, saying in a statement, "After prayerful consideration and reviewing materials presented by all sides of this case, I have determined to commute Julius Jones's sentence to life imprisonment without the possibility of parole." Jones also not eligible for a future pardon. Still outside the prison, crowds breaking out in song. His sister telling me she and Jones spoke after the news. His first words to her, "I love you."
As best you can describe what that moment was like.
It's a blessing to be able to hear his voice and to know that he will still be alive.
Jones was a college student in 1999 when he was charged with murdering Paul Howell during a carjacking outside of Oklahoma City. Investigators finding a gun wrapped in a red bandana in Jones's house after they interviewed two other suspects. He was convicted and sentenced to death in 2002. For more than 20 years, Jones and his lawyers have maintained his innocence, claiming he was framed.
David, under the governor's decision, Jones is not eligible for parole, nor can he seek any other commutations. Despite that, his sister told me their fight for his freedom is not over. David.
Marcus Moore, live from Oklahoma for us. Marcus, thank you. We reported last night here on the expected news, and tonight the headline here in New York City, the exoneration of two men convicted more than 50 years ago in the assassination of Malcolm X. The Manhattan District Attorney, Cyrus Vance, requested the move after a Netflix docuseries and a lengthy investigation uncovered new evidence. The DA today apologizing. Muhammad Aziz, who was exonerated in court today, and Khalil Islam, who died in 2009, both served decades in prison. Aziz addressing the court.
The events that brought us to court today did not have occurred. Those events were and are the result of a process that was corrupt to its core, one that was all too familiar to black people in 2021.
After the hearing, Khalil Islam, who of course did not live to see this day, his sons said they did not think they would ever see this. Muhammad Aziz celebrating with his family. In upstate New York tonight, a judge near Buffalo in Lewiston facing backlash after sentencing a young man, an admitted rapist, to probation in Niagara County. The 20-year-old defendant pleading guilty to sexually assaulting four teenage girls. The judge said prison time would have been inappropriate. Here's Elwin Lopez.
Tonight, outrage in New York after a judge ruled a man who pleaded guilty to sex crimes against four teenage girls, including rape and sexual assault, should not serve a single day in prison.
I agonized. I'm not ashamed to say that I actually prayed over what is the appropriate sentence in this case.
Christopher Belcher assaulted two 15-year-olds and two 16-year-olds in his family's home in Western New York. He was 17 at the time and tried as an adult.
I've come to feel deep shame and regret for my actions. None of you deserve to be in this situation.
One of Belcher's victims begging the judge to, quote, not let this rapist walk away, adding, you have the ability to save future girls. He faced up to 8 years behind bars, but Judge Matthew Murphy determined 8 years probation was punishment enough.
There was great pain, there was great harm, there were multiple crimes committed in the case. And it seems to me that a sentence that involves incarceration or partial incarceration isn't appropriate.
An attorney for one of Belcher's victims slamming the decision.
He is privileged, he comes from money, he is white.
And for an adult to get away with these crimes without doing jail time is unjust.
And David, that lawyer saying his client was physically sick after that sentencing. And I should note that that judge is nearing mandatory retirement. This is one of his last cases on the bench. David.
Elwin Lopez tonight. Elwin, thank you. And now to news from Capitol Hill tonight. The House set to take a big move now on the second part of President Biden's domestic agenda. Let's get right to Stephanie Ramos with late reporting from Washington tonight. Stephanie.
David, the House is moving forward tonight to vote on this sweeping bill, which comes at a $1.75 trillion price tag. The bill dedicates a record $500 billion to fighting climate change. It includes money for universal pre-K, elder care, and a one-year extension of the child tax credit. It would also expand Medicare to cover hearing and bring down the cost of prescription drugs. Also included, paid family leave, but that is likely on the chopping block when this heads over to the Senate, and that's because moderate Joe Manchin says he's opposed to it. He says he's also worried about the cost of the bill amid rising inflation. The White House says the bill pays for itself. And tonight, the Congressional Budget Office appearing to agree. Still, though, there is a long road ahead. The bill facing major headwinds over in the Senate, where President Biden cannot afford to lose a single Democratic vote. David.
All right, Stephanie Ramos in Washington. Stephanie, thank you. And we continue to follow this global headline, the growing alarm over the fate of the Chinese tennis star, not seen in public since accusing a former Chinese official of sexually assaulting her. And tonight, fellow champion Serena Williams among the latest now to speak out. Here's ABC's Kaylee Hartung.
She's the latest major tennis star to voice outrage and concern over the disappearance of Chinese tennis player Peng Shuai. Serena Williams tweeting, "I am devastated and shocked to hear about the news of my peer Peng Shuai. I hope she is safe and found as soon as possible. This must be investigated and we must not stay silent. Sending love to her and her family during this incredibly difficult time." The Grand Slam doubles champion has not been seen publicly in 2 weeks, her social media going dark after alleging she was sexually assaulted 3 years ago by a former high-ranking Chinese government official. The head of the Women's Tennis Association now questioning Shuai's safety after receiving what he considers to be a fraudulent email, supposedly from the athlete, in which she called the allegation of sexual assault not true, adding, "I am not missing, nor am I unsafe. I've just been resting at home and everything is fine. Thank you again for caring about me." As the mystery deepens, the White House pressed about it today.
"We have, of course, seen the reports. We unfortunately just don't have any additional information on it."
And David, today at a news conference, Beijing's foreign ministry spokesman brushed off questions about Shuai's whereabouts, and then any mention of her name was scrubbed from the official transcript of that news conference, David.
Kaylee Hartung tonight. Kaylee, thank you. We'll stay on this. When we come back tonight, the former NFL player on the run from police tonight after horrific images surfaced, and the major event in the sky overnight, what to look for.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, there is a police manhunt underway for a former NFL player accused of beating his ex-girlfriend in Oakland, Florida. Authorities looking for Zach Stacy after horrific home surveillance allegedly showing him beating Kristen Evans in front of their 5-month-old son. Authorities say they believe he has fled the state. to the index and look to the sky overnight. A partial lunar eclipse across North America, the longest in nearly 600 years. The moon slipping into Earth's shadow for more than 6 hours, just after 1 a.m. Eastern. Finally tonight here, America Strong. Let's hope we're all like this at 105. Tonight, she's done it again. Julia Hawkins is America Strong from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You met her here 3 years ago. Back then, just 102 years old, she set the world record in the 60-meter dash. Then, at 103 years old, a record in the 50-meter dash. So quick, they call her Hurricane Hawkins.
The hurricane is in the house.
Graduating from LSU in 1938, this great-grandmother didn't even start running until she was 100.
At 100, I started running. I thought it'd be neat to run at 100 and do the 100-yard dash.
And tonight...
Good luck.
Thank you.
She's at it again.
All right, here we go, here we go.
Now 105.
Doing great.
Running the 100-meter dash at the Louisiana Senior Games. Finishing at 1:03, a new world record. And afterward, how did it feel?
Wonderful. I'm so happy.
Julia and her message.
Just stay healthy and keep running.
And we will never forget what she once told us.
Hi, David. It's been wonderful to be here racing. It's on. Inspiring to me to be able to do this.
Well, Julia amazes us at 105. She's done it again. Hurricane Hawkins. I'll see you tomorrow. Good night.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.